Now, friends, we come to one of the most remarkable books in the Bible. And I'm sure that you've heard me say that many times. In fact, when we have finished the 5-year course, you will have heard me say that 66 times, because every book in the Bible is remarkable. But this book is remarkable in a very unusual way. Most of the prophets hide themselves and maintain a character of anonymity. That is, they do not project themselves on the page of their prophecy. But we come now to a prophet whose prophecy is largely autobiographical, and certainly in many places that is true. And I have put in our notes just some of the things, and I'd like to run through them briefly for you to let you know that this man, what we're going to look at, and we'll take each one of these up separately. And first of all, he was born a priest in Anathoth, just north of Jerusalem. And second, he was chosen to be a prophet before he was born. Third, he was called to the prophetic office while very young. He was commissioned of God to be a prophet. He began his ministry during the reign of King Josiah, and he was a mourner at his funeral. And then, the sixth thing, he was forbidden to marry because of the terrible times in which he lived. And the seventh thing, he never made a convert. He was rejected by his people. He was hated. He was beaten. He was put in stocks. He was imprisoned. He was charged with being a traitor. The eighth, his message broke his own heart. Nine, he wanted to resign, but God wouldn't let him. And the tenth, he saw the destruction of Jerusalem and the Babylonian captivity. He was permitted to remain in the land by the captain of the Babylonian forces. When the remnant wanted to flee to Egypt, Jeremiah prophesied against it. He was forced to go with the remnant to Egypt, and he died there. Tradition says that he was stoned by the remnant. Here's a remarkable man. I call him God's crybaby, for that's what he was, a man in tears most of the time. And God chose this man. He had a woman's heart, a mother's heart. He had a trembling voice and tear-filled eyes, but he was called to deliver a harsh message of judgment. The message that he gave broke his own heart. This man, a great man of God, may I say to you, I don't think that you and I would pick this kind of a man to give a message. At least I don't think that we would. We would want to pick some hard-boiled person to give a hard-boiled message, would we not? But God didn't pick this kind of a man at all. He picked a man like this, and the message broke his heart. I want to read two statements made concerning Jeremiah by great men of the past. And I'd not want to begin this study without passing this on to you. Lord Macaulay said this concerning this man. It is difficult to conceive any situation more painful than that of a great man condemned to watch the lingering agony of an exhausted country, to tend it during the alternate fits of stupefaction and raving which people in dissolution, and to see the symptoms of vitality disappear one by one, till nothing is left but coldness, darkness, and corruption. That was the position and the call of Jeremiah. He stood by and saw his people go into captivity. Now, their other statement I'd like to read concerning him, Dr. Moorhead has given us this very graphic picture of him. And will you listen to this? It's tremendous. I'm reading now. It was Jeremiah's lot to prophesy at a time when all things in Judah were rushing down to the final and mournful catastrophe, when political excitement was at its height, when the worst passions swayed the various parties and the most fatal counsels prevailed. It was his to stand in the way over which his nation was rushing headlong to destruction, to make a heroic effort to arrest it and to turn it back, and to fail and be compelled to step to one side and see his own people, whom he loved with the tenderness of a woman, plunge over the precipice into the wide, weltering ruin. These are tremendous statements made concerning that. You and I are probably living at a time just like that. We're a great nation today, and we've accomplished many things. We've gone to the moon. We have atom bombs. We're a strong nation. But inside our nation today, there is this same corruption that is carrying us down, actually will carry us down to a dismemberment and to disaster. It's coming, my friend. Revolution may be around the corner. Now, I know that what I'm saying is not popular today. You just don't say it. You have now nice panels where you discuss how we're going to improve society and how we can work out our problems. And today, God is totally left out of the picture, absolutely left out. And today, if the Bible is mentioned, it's mentioned in a way with a curled lip by some unbeliever. The ones who are believers, who have a message from God, are pushed aside. I know that. And may I say to you, I'm not sure, but what we are very much in the same position that Jeremiah was in. And for that reason, I'd like to say that I feel that this book is going to have a message for us today. And I hope that you'll ask your friends to listen in. I hope you'll ask them to write in and get notes and outlines. And I hope you have them, because they're important for this book. Now, God chose this man who had a mother's heart, a trembling voice, and tear-filled eyes to deliver a harsh message of judgment. And the message that he gave broke his own heart. Now, one author has put it like this. He was not a man mighty as Elijah, eloquent as Isaiah, or seraphic as Ezekiel, but one who was timid and shrinking, conscious of his helplessness, yearning for a sympathy and love he was never to know. Such was the chosen organ through which the word of the Lord came to that corrupt and degenerate age. Now, when the Lord Jesus appeared, he asked the question of his own, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" There was a difference of opinion. None of them really knew, and those who did not know him had some different ideas. Some thought he was Elijah. There was a reason for that. Some thought he was John the Baptist. Reason for that. And some thought he was Jeremiah. And may I say to you, those who thought that had a good reason for believing it. Because Jeremiah was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the difference between him and the Lord Jesus was that the Lord Jesus was bearing your sorrows and my grief, and my sorrows and your grief, while Jeremiah was carrying his own burden, and it broke his heart. He went to the Lord one time, and he says, "I can't keep on. This thing's tearing me to pieces. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. You better get somebody else." Well, the Lord says, "All right, but I'll just hold your resignation here on my desk because I think you'll be back." And he came back and he said, "You know, The word of God was like fire in my bones. I had to give it, although it broke his heart. And God wanted that kind of man. And you know why? Because that's the only kind of man that can give a harsh message. Now, we'd want some hard-boiled fella. My feeling is that you need somebody to be able to talk up to some of these world dictators today. But you know, God, I don't think he'd pick that kind of man. He'd send somebody with a broken heart. And why did he? God wanted the children of Israel to know, though he was sending them into captivity, that he was judging them, that it was breaking his heart. And as Isaiah said, judgment is a strange work. This is the man that we're going to look at. Jeremiah, the prophet. He is here identified for us, and probably I ought to mention this. He began his ministry about a century after Isaiah, 100 years after Isaiah. And he came along at the time of the Babylonian captivity, and he began during the reign of Josiah, and he continued right on down through the Babylonian captivity. And he's the one that predicted the 70 years captivity in Babylon. And he saw beyond all that darkness to the light. And no prophet spoke so glowingly of the future as he did. And we'll have occasion to see that. Now, the message of Jeremiah was not only unwelcome, but it was actually rejected. And the thing that I think characterizes this man's message is backsliding. It occurs 13 times. It's used only 4 other times in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs once and in Hosea 3 times, and Hosea's message is that of the backsliding nation. And we have here another word that occurs. Babylon occurs 164 times more than in the rest of Scripture combined. Babylon became the enemy.